Welcome, campers, to Camp Blood.
Hello and welcome to the Skeleton Boys, a horror movie podcast. I'm Rolando, who had the enchiladas.
And I'm John, and I had the vegan enchiladas. They taste exactly the same. You'll never be able to tell.
It's really just which one of us ran to the outhouse first. Fastest.
Yeah. I'm John, and I play the young child who has a 30-something-year-old girlfriend, I think.
And welcome to our annual spooky special, Camp Blood, a Friday the 13th retrospective. This week, we are reviewing the Friday the 13th Part 5, A New Beginning. I love long titles.
Yeah, sure. Allegedly.
And Friday the 13th.
I dare anybody at home to try to juggle the titles of these movies. I'm sure we got diehard Jason fans, but like, dude, just call them Part 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. That's fine.
You're right. I don't disagree with that at all. Friday the 13th, Part 6, Jason Lives. So they lied to us. It was not the final chapter of this novel.
I'm pretty sure he doesn't die. Well,
technically he's dead for the next
movie. Yeah, I guess
movie,
he is dead, yeah.
The movie we're about to talk about. But
because science.
I would say overall.
Because science.
I would say overall the four movies we've seen so far have been really good. And then we've kind of like slowly are inching down.
Yeah. Where it's getting kind of bad. Well, no, I did not like, which one was it? The fourth one, right? It was like pretty.
Or the third one, the 3D one or the.
I don't think I like the third one.
Yeah, that to me so far has been the low point. Except for now, both these movies are turds, but for different reasons.
Yeah.
Absolutely for different reasons.
Which I liked one of the turds actually, but I think this is my Halloween 5? Was that right? Was that
yes,
the one?
There is one you.
Am I on par with the fifth movie of these franchises?
I think 5 is your favorite number, yeah. It's just, yeah. I think it's just something you enjoy. So.
Which was Friday the 13th, or Nightmare on Elm Street 5? Which one was that?
I think it's Return of Michael Myers. Not Curse, but.
No, Nightmare on Elm Street.
Oh. That's Demon Child. Or what is it?
Was it that one was fucking weird. I don't remember
off the top of my head. I think it's Dream Child is my guess.
Yeah, you're right. You absolutely are correct.
Which I kind of enjoyed. I actually liked that movie. It was fine. It's whatever, you know. Thought it was pretty cool. Got the origins of Freddy. We had that weird kid actor baby in it.
Yeah. That wasn't the, no, which was the one with Tom Arnold and Roseanne Barr at their beginning for no reason?
That was Freddy's Dead.
Sixth one.
Yeah, right? That's not a sixth one.
Freddy's Dead. Damn, that movie was
bad. That was a really bad movie. Anyway, yeah. Speaking of, let's talk about Friday the 13th, The New Beginning, which, I mean, I don't even know how to preamble it.
New Beginnings. Yeah. If you want to talk about New Beginnings, maybe try listening to our pod on a different podcasting avenue.
Okay.
by using
where are we going? Where are you Apple taking Podcasts. Us? Oh yeah. No, you're right. Yes. If you want to hear any of our past shows, strongly recommend listening on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or your podcatcher of choice.
Earwolf. Oh wait, no, we're not on that.
We could be. Please help us. Please.
Please, Scott Aukerman, please.
Or maybe Buzzball can sponsor us or something.
They sponsored you yesterday.
They held me up. Alrighty. without further ado, John, do you want to give us the plan 5 words?
Johnny.
5 words.
Plot summary.
Rolando, drum roll, please.
For Friday the 13th, Part 5, A New Beginning. Coming in at number 3, Tommy, the average Angelino driving. Coming in at number 2 for Friday the 13th, A New Beginning. Ray Gunn's film debut come true. Because did you know, breakdancing woman in a room, which we'll get to that, because
this is it. This is the origin.
Holy hell, that was a long, long sequence.
Oh my god, damn.
But and I am of course referring to Ray Gun of Olympics fame.
Don't sue us.
He single-handedly brought down the one and only breakdancing competition we had in the Olympics through her hubris, I would say.
Yeah.
But this lady that plays this breakdancing girl made her film debut come true.
I'm sure
she was in Come True.
I like how we circle back to this movie.
Yeah. I just had to mention that she plays a part in Come True. All right. And coming in at number one for Friday the 13th, The New Beginning. A little EMT. I've actually got another one too.
Of course.
Joanna Man gets John Shafted. Did you know? Okay, so we'll get into it later if you want. But I wanted to talk about Miguel Nunez Jr.
Yeah.
This movie came out the same year Return of the Living Dead came out.
Oh, so he basically
played the same character in two different movies. Yeah.
We're like, well, yeah, he seems like a very like charismatic guy. I can totally see him finding something for him to do, and he does like this one thing very well, you know.
I bet he could play like a Street Fighter character in Jean-Claude Van Damme vehicle.
Nothing cliche, right? Not like a boxer or
not like a kickboxer named DJ
spelled out, not just initials. what are we talking about? Okay, we're not fans of these movies. First thoughts, John. How'd you feel about New Beginnings?
So I did enjoy this movie, but I think only for like the moments when you just gotta give it like 10 minutes and then another character is gonna randomly snap, and I thought that was really funny.
You know what's funny? That you like this movie and you like the return of Michael Myers, because coincidentally, or not coincidentally, they both were directed by porn directors.
Oh.
Maybe you guys.
You see, I want that horror porn vibe. The fifth Michael Myers I really enjoyed because that was a hand model.
That was the hand model one. And that's the one that has that extended sex scene in the barn. They spent.
Oh, where they both get.
Very European.
Forked.
Yeah. Very common trope. And this one was directed by notably a hardcore porn director. So this was his first feature.
Danny Steinman.
And that to me is like, that's like a jumping off point. I think this movie was just like, performances are all over the place. Tone is all over the place. There's just like extended scenes for like no reason in these scenes that are just drawn out. And nobody really behaves like a person in any of these movies. It's all just very paper thin. And for whatever reason, this director has a fetish of people singing in this movie. There's tons of people like humming and singing and whatever.
I was gonna say, to be fair, a good chunk of the cast are supposed to be clinically psychotic.
I mean,
like, it's such a strange premise. It's like a halfway home that they made in the woods near Crystal Lake, right? That's the assumption, because Jason doesn't travel far. I mean, he did travel to the city for the second movie just to kill one person. So I guess I'll give him that. But yeah, I don't know. They were all just like had wacky personalities.
Yeah, I guess part of the premise, the setup is that Tommy Jarvis, we open with him, you know, young Corey Feldman, where we left him, and he's like, again by the grave site, right? And then Jason emerges, and then we kind of cut to like an extended sequence of Jason finding and stalking Tommy Jarvis. And then
just like a weird fake out, like, not, it was just to get Corey Feldman in the movie again, I guess.
Yeah, I think it already was hitting big already at this point, I'm assuming. And then we cut to,
and I guess the Goonies had come out.
I don't know. I think we figured out Goonies came out in 85 and this movie came out.
Oh, yeah. 85.
This movie came out. Yeah, literally the same year. So clearly they were just trying to cash in on, you know, luckily getting him in their movie in 4. And plus, like, honestly, this that idea of Tommy Jarvis is now a teen, but he's had all kinds of, like, mental problems and stuff. He's because
very angry and freakishly strong for how his size.
Yeah, and, like, so he's supposedly, I mean, well, technically he did kill Jason, right, in 3.
Yes.
And
he hacked him up, allegedly.
He's put into, like, a halfway house, is the way it's described here. And then, like, of course, there's, like, other murders. The murders continue and stuff like that. But they took wild left and turns in terms of, like, without spoiling it, yeah, about Jason and stuff.
So I will give this movie something. We finally didn't get a recap.
That's true. You're right.
It was a nightmare sequence for Tommy Jarvis. Mm-hmm.
And then the movie fell apart after after the first 5 minutes of whatever. After this initial setup and he's like awakened and driven to the house.
But like I said, I loved laughing at the... There's like a part where somebody's picking on Tommy, but not even in like a super rude way. He's just trying to be funny. And Tommy, who's not a very big guy, picks this guy up over his head and then tosses him.
Right, yeah.
And I thought that was really funny. I didn't understand why he did that. And then he pummels him. Like, I don't know. I'm like, okay.
I mean, it's definitely a scene that kind of sticks out as like random. There's a lot of random things. Cause like you have the kids.
He fights somebody else again too. He like beats the shit out of that hillbilly.
Speaking of the hillbillies, I don't understand. Okay. Cause you had like two hillbilly characters and they're clearly the same age, the actors, but yet one is supposed to be the mother and the other one is supposed to be the son. And they're just given like the worst dialogue. They're literally like swearing and saying this and that and just being like purposely over the top, you know? And it's just like...
It was such a weird characters. Yeah, like why are they even there?
They're clearly there just to say like, we don't want you people in our woods or some shit, right? Like it's just like random.
Just weird, yeah.
just super random. And
but I will say...
No, I was gonna say like, yeah, there's a lot of weird dialogue and moments in this. There's a lot of people taking dumps in this movie. A lot of people say they're taking to take dumps. And I'm just like, oh, you know, there's even like
hardcore porn involves taking dumps sometimes.
And then you have like the sort of big moment that kind of starts the whole movie when you have one of the kids kills another one of the kids.
Well, that's what I was going to bring up.
Yeah, go ahead.
That I thought was fucking funny was the hillbillies get introduced because they come in like, I don't want these, like, I don't know, loonies in our forest, blah, 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 in our neighborhood. And I caught them. And basically what she had done was caught two of them, like, having sex or something. Mm-hmm. She was like, I know what they were doing. I'm not stupid, blah, blah, blah. And then he's like, oh, everybody's harmless. And then literally, like, 2 minutes later, one of the kids gets hacked up by another kid because he doesn't... Because this... And it's such a weird character. Like they cast some like chubby dude, put chocolate all over his face because he's eating chocolate bars and he's got chocolate bars in his
pockets. Yeah, melting and he's had chocolate bars in his hands. Yeah.
He's like a disgusting guy who's aloof and doesn't take hints.
Yeah.
And then, you know, he's like, I don't know how he lived that long, to be honest. If all it took is like the one guy who's chopping wood the wrong way, mind you.
Right.
Like he's got the log on its side and he's just hacking with an axe.
So wait.
So I would be like, I'd probably not mess with that guy.
So what you're saying is the hillbillies were right. It's kind of proves the point that the hillbillies were correct in their assessments of having these loons in their woods would actually be bad. Because literally one kid killed like, first kid. And it's just such a like jarring moment. Like what the fuck is even going on? And then you just...
gets mad and starts hacking away and then keeps hacking away.
Yeah, and yeah, go ahead.
What I found really funny was that happens and then they're like, oh, I can't believe that happened. Well, back to camp duties.
Well, I like that they, I mean, well, it's the first weird scene here is literally the aftermath of that. The sort of paramedics come, right? And then one guy, like, they cover the body, right? Very movie-ish. And he, like, lifts it. And so all the kids are like, nah! They're screaming and stuff. And then he just looks at them, gives them, like, a grin, spits, and says, excuse my French, pussies. And I'm like, really? Like, this? And they're looking at their whatever friend. Not, I guess they're not their friend, but like their whatever that lived there in the house. And he's like chopped up. He's like literally showing chopped up pieces of him under this fucking blanket. Everybody. And I'm just like, what the fuck kind of, what is this? Why is he behaving that way?
I'm trying to find what he actually said. I don't think I'm going to be able to find it. But yeah, that character was really funny. And then like the other EMT is just like staring in like disbelief.
Yeah.
And he's like, come on, you can't take a look at this, blah, blah, blah. Get your hands dirty. I'm like, dude.
A lot of foreshadowing. Yeah, a lot of fucking foreshadowing going on right here.
Jeez.
And then like when we start getting to like the killings, you got two, the first kind of guys to die were like these two weirdly cast like greaser guys that are like their car broke down and they're trying to go into town. And he's like fucking like, oh, I gotta take a shit. Cause get the car started. We gotta go drink. Yeah. And I'm like,
like super 50s style greasers too. This is current day, right?
Yeah, exactly. This isn't like said the past anymore. This is current day. Cause you have,
oh, and mind you, this entire time this is happening, I guess some older guy that works there lets his grandson just run around the property.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That
looks like there's some random kid yeah. that's
he's
like,
the cook yeah. has his grandson there, right? Or something? Or
Yeah, something like that. And it's okay. Don't worry. In case you're wondering if this is a different time, because he's a drastically different personality. He still makes horror masks and stuff.
Yeah, he's still like kind of into the creature designs or whatever, you know, Fangoria and stuff. But that moment was so weird because like the direction the cook is given, it's kind of like, just smiling and nodding. And then goes and like kisses his, you know, his nephew in the head and and legitimately you could tell the kid actor's like, don't kiss me. It could just like, get away from me. It just felt you very can tell
The kid probably felt very assaulted the entire movie.
I didn't know what I was watching. It was so gross.
God, like the final girl, I guess, if that's what you want to call her. She was not important the entire movie until the end.
Yeah.
She gets awkwardly affectionate to a point where I'm like, I don't like this. I don't like watching this.
It's just really bad, poorly directed. You could tell like this guy does not have an acute understanding of like tone and movie making at all. He's literally just,
and it's also the same woman I was talking about was wearing like a white flowy shirt,
right?
And then it rains a lot for no reason.
Mm. Yep.
Which I'm gonna say didn't look real, but it rains a lot. She falls on the ground, and it is a long, dragged out like minute and a half, 2 minute scene of her just like, it basically looks like she's trying to get up but also swimming in the ground.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
like she's trying to tread water, which makes no sense.
Well,
so I guess it's just to like, so the kid can come out with a tractor, which I don't know if anybody's ever driven a tractor, they don't go very fast, and he's still able to hit Jason. Mm-hmm. Even though Jason's like, what?
No, yeah.
And then that's when like this lady grabs him affectionately, like, oh, I thought you were gone. And she's like almost trying to force his head into her bosoms that are all wet and see-through. And you can see the kid kind of go like, stop.
Well, see, famously, I heard that like there's, of course, an extended sex scene that doesn't really need to be in this movie. And apparently this was the director gave instruction like, no, faster, fuck her harder, faster, off camera. The entire time. Gross. Yeah, there's like a making of, you know how they do these like doc series for DVDs, and that's just one of the things I found in my research where he would call, this is the scene he spent the most time on and was like giving, basically directing it like porn, you know? So it's very creepy and unsettling. And I know we're going through, we're jumping all over the place, but trust me, this movie is fucking all over the place. There's really nothing to feel in this movie. And I love that, oh my god, when we get the I want to talk about the scene with the outhouse, and we have the actor
Miguel Nunez.
Yeah.
Juana Man.
This was such a weird, I mean, every kill in this movie is fucking weird. There's nothing straightforward about any of these. He is the brother, right? Or
older brother of the kid.
And he ends up going to go see him, but apparently he said that he was going to visit him in his trailer, but he lives in a van. Because it's the only thing we saw. He lived in the van, and he's like offering him food. He offers him enchiladas, which subtle reference to our beginning here, and then of our episode. And then like he's like, "Oh, you want a burger? You want enchiladas?" I was like, "What is this dialogue?" And then
the kid walks in and goes like, "And who is that?" I'm like, dude, you're a kid.
It's dude, like, yeah.
And there's this really attractive woman. So I fucking forgot about, like, right before he gets killed. And that's what I mean. He gets shafted in the jaw. It's because, like, he's in a porta potty and he gets, right?
Right, outhouse.
Jason, kills him like that. But right before that happens, you remember his, like, girlfriend walks up and he's like,
weird scene.
Babe, no, I told you not to bother me. But then she starts singing, so he starts singing back.
I love that they're singing whatever. It doesn't matter. Like, they're just like, we don't have any trademarks, so just make up a song. So the poor actors are just having to hum whatever the fuck. They just probably came up with something on the spot, and they're just humming bullshit. That's because there's really no. They're just like, we're not paying for music, so don't get anything trademarked, please.
And this is like while Miguel Nunez is like dropping a bomb in the toilet.
As you do, as your girlfriend checks up on you, we sing to each other through the door.
Yeah, I was like, dude, what?
Again, another moment of like insanity, just like absolute lunacy. This makes no fucking sense.
Yeah, especially because these characters are literally introduced and killed off in like 10 minutes.
Right.
Tops.
They're honestly just like fodder. And I mean, you get the also, I mean, we kind of briefly talked about it and you mentioned it in your plot five word plot summary here about Ray Gun. And we get, I like how this is very starting to be like MTV, right? Because we had Miguel Nunez look like Michael Jackson. He's basically dressed up like Michael Jackson. And then you have the Ray Gun character that referred to her. I didn't catch her name. She looks like Madonna. Right, so
Violet something, I think.
Which she has this extended like breakdancing scene. It kind of just goes on too long,
and on,
while Jason is just like standing behind her waiting to kill her. It's just an example of like poor editing at its finest here. It's just like too much, just trying to extend scenes. They probably didn't get enough coverage, you know.
Maybe, I don't know, I'm sure, or they had a horrible editor, I'm not sure.
Right. I don't know what this is, but it's kind of funny that she's like dancing the entire time and then she's going through a brevity of moves and stuff before she gets killed.
Yeah, her name was Violet.
Another,
which the actress Tiffany Helm, right, who was also in Come True, did study dance with Roland Dupree and was a member of the Beverly Hills Mime Troupe. There you go. Because it was definitely not the best breakdancing I've ever seen in my life.
Well, I mean, if you gatekeep breakdancing for everybody, John, so I don't know. Nothing's ever good enough.
Just like that's some what's his name? Some guy tries to convince one of the other girls to sleep with him because she likes him or he likes her, and that other girl just laughs. And she looked a lot like she kind of looked like a mix between what was her name in Nightmare on Elm Street 2 that looks a lot like do you remember the main girl in Nightmare on Elm Street 2?
Wasn't it a guy, the final girl?
Yes, but the remember he a had girl, like friend, a friend yeah. that they yeah, yeah, yeah.
I don't remember off the top of my head. No.
Anyway, I feel like that during this time, they kept trying to find similar looking actors to people.
Sure, yeah.
I feel like that was probably a thing, right? So I thought she would be important, but then she just gets killed off pretty quickly. And the guy that was trying to sleep with her walks in on Violet, the breakdancing woman, mm-hmm. and is like, hey, can we talk about something important? And she's like, no, can it wait? Because she's like dancing. And she's dancing like she's doing the robot not very well, but like she's dedicated.
Like, yeah.
She's like, no, can it wait? I'm busy. And he's like, no, it can't. And he walks away and then he gets killed right away.
Yeah.
And then Jason sneaks into her room and hides in a different room. I thought it was a closet. I was like, that's a huge room. I don't know why he did that though. But he hid from her so we could watch her dance for another seemingly 6 hours.
I think I'll just highlight one more death in here that I thought was bizarre. Was the guy in the muscle car, and he went to go pick up his girlfriend in the diner, and of course he's like in the muscle car doing coke and stuff, and then like she's like, oh, you gotta wait for me, and then she like of course cleans, she's like, I'm cleaning up, I'm closing, and then she closes the thing, and then she's like, oh, I gotta change. She like purposely takes out her breast for some reason
the guy that goes, it's showtime. Yeah. Right.
what is this? Yeah, she shows her breast and gets murdered, and then the guy just like, I don't know, dude. It's just so weird. I don't know. I was like looking at this, I'm like, who the fuck are these people? I don't even know what the fuck's going on anymore.
why do we need to know these people?
Yeah. Yeah, it's so dumb. Nothing makes sense in this movie. Is there anything else you want to highlight before we get to spoilers?
No, just that a lot of people die off screen, right? That they just keep running into people. Mm-hmm. And Tommy somehow got shipped away to a different place, and then that's when he beats the shit out of the hillbilly son.
Right, yeah.
Which, I mean, rightfully so, but they keep setting up that Tommy's gonna be, he's like this aggressive, like, oh, you shouldn't fuck with him,
mm-hmm.
just for whatever happens at the end to happen.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that's it.
Okay. Let's go into spoilers.
Wait! No, stop talking, guys. Stop the podcast. Stop. Please stop the podcast. Because we're about to go into
spoilers.
The mask is different because it's not Jason.
Surprise.
Hey. And that's why none of the deaths were like superhumanly done, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah. This was a rather odd twist that, well, that's underselling it. This was really fucking dumb, I think, of a twist, like, to kind of...
But it's exactly like the first one. Somebody killed Pamela Voorhees' son due to negligence, and his son that he didn't want to tell anybody about and didn't want his son to even know about him for reasons got killed too. Did you understood all that, right? That's why he started killing everybody?
Yes. Now, did I make the parallel that it's similar to the first Friday the 13th movie? No, I did not make that parallel. No. It's so off. It's so clumsy.
Parody of it.
So clumsy the way there's a random, maybe has one or two lines paramedic that is we meet early in the movie when the guy shows him like, hey, look at this dead body. Line up, Roy, or whatever the hell his name was. And we see him in like one more scene when they kill the greaser guys. And the camera just always kind of lingers on him for a little bit. A little too long in these two moments. And then that is... explanation as to like, oh, I'm gonna start doing killings, and then he's going around killing everybody at this home. And then, but the real twist is Roy the paramedic is the guy that is the killing, not Jason. Another change out, like, how much killing does Jason actually do? I was under the impression that he killed a lot of people. It didn't seem that way, does it?
Like actual Jason?
Yeah, as opposed to like
no, it seems like Roy the paramedic had a higher kill count in this one.
Right, yeah, exactly, yeah. And it's such a weird thing where they offhandedly mention, like, what you described is correct, like, yeah, so he saw his son, which was the sort of fat kid with chocolate in his hand, get murdered. That was his estranged son. He never told anybody because, quote unquote, he was quiet. But they mention it so offhandedly right at the end of the movie, right? Where they're at the hospital and he's all like, so apparently Roy had a son. And then they had his wallet. They had Roy's wallet as evidence in his hand, deputy, and then showed the picture. They had a picture of him, which clearly you put two and two together. It's clearly his son, right? So a lot of conclusions there. Just offhandedly show the picture. That was his son. That's why he was upset. And that's why he was killing. Close the wallet. Case closed, guys. That's the extent of it. It felt just god awful, man. And then, just so dumb.
And then there's like another weird twist where Tommy's able to finally overcome his visions of Jason.
Right.
After they killed this paramedic guy, which they went back to that stupid barn, by the way.
It seems like they did, okay. Yeah.
Even though it's supposed to be a different place.
Right, yeah.
There's a end sequence where he potentially killed the final girl.
Right. We're back.
Because I was thinking like, oh, that didn't happen. But then the next movie kind of suggests that he might have done it.
Well, you have to explain that one because it kind of seemed like, I don't know, the I don't want to get too heavy into like the other movie yet. But like, explain that to me, what you mean. When we get there, because that's not kind of how I understood the first part of that movie, like the whole kind of like starting of the movie.
Well, because she just doesn't exist anymore after this movie.
Yeah, but I mean, are you surprised this movie, these movies, like there's no cohesion?
No, but it's like, I mean, I guess he has mental problems because of everything that happened, but it seemed like he overcame them. Like he was already doing well and he didn't kill the paramedic in this movie, right? That wasn't him. That was somebody else. Somebody kicked him.
Well, I think they set up his quote unquote story arc would be that he had these nightmares of killing Jason that he was having trouble dealing with. And then throughout the movie, he's sort of like passive about it. He's always kind of in fear that Jason's gonna come back. So when this all this shit starts happening again, he kind of like, I wouldn't say gets actively involved, but he's like, you know, he's kind of going along with what everybody else is doing. And in essence, what you're saying is true, that the little kid and the final girl are kind of like the main characters, and Tommy Jarvis is kind of like passively involved with the,
he's kind of there. Right. Yeah.
Even though, you know, he's sort of our loose connection to the previous movie.
Which at this point, super loose. Like, they keep trying to use like, which does work and it doesn't make sense. Where the Jason is about to kill the little boy and the final girl. And Tommy comes out of nowhere and goes, "Jason, it's me." And for whatever reason, the Jason turns around and goes after him. And I'm like, "This isn't, you're not Jason."
What? True.
why did that work?
Yeah, true.
Like, they try to do the mental gymnastic thing again, like the trying to mess with Jason's psyche, but it's not Jason.
Yeah. Well, I think what the film, the way I interpreted the last like minutes here of the movie was that he's able to stop having these nightmares of Jason, right? And then I interpret it as like him like not just like, you know, healing from that mental part of his life, it's him accepting it, and therefore that's why he has the knife and the mask, and he's kind of like, I'm the killer now, so in him, which again is like a dumb idea, right? Like, I'm finally gonna accept I'm accept this role in it and stuff like that. Yeah.
But it's also because they try to make that happen in the last movie, too.
Yes. Yeah. It's hinted at that, like, well, at the very least, Corey Feldman is like, you could tell that he's clearly either going to turn into Jason or he's going to have like, he's severely traumatized by the what incident that happened for him killing Jason at the very end of final chapter. Yeah. It's kind of left. It's a little more cleverly done because there's less obvious about what the answer is. And this one's more on the nose in terms of like, Tommy Jarvis is the killer now, bum 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 type thing. So
yeah, but don't worry, because we're just gonna
none of that's gonna matter that. Anymore in about a year's time. None of that's gonna fucking matter. Alrighty.
And Tommy's gonna age another 25 years.
Yeah. yeah. Alrighty. Do you have any other thoughts before we rate this movie? No. I'm good. Alrighty, John. How many sexy spooky bones do you want to give?
How many sexy spooky bones will you give me? Sexy bones. Ooh, sexy bones. Well, I know what you need. Show us your sexy.
Don't do that. Just rate the movie. I'm gonna give Friday the 13th A New Beginning 4 sexy spooky bones.
Awesome.
And that is literally just for him snapping, like people snapping. That's the only reason I like.
I'm gonna give it a 2. I just didn't like this movie. I think it's a poorly made movie, and I didn't have any fun with it. So one turd down. Let's flush the next one.
They thought the nightmare was dead and buried. They were wrong. Jason lives.
Happy Friday the 13th.
Friday the 13th, part 6. Jason lives.
Starts August 1st at a Famous Players and other theaters near you. Check local listings.
Friday the 13th, part 6. Jason lives. John, do you want to give us the plot in 5 words?
Johnny.
5 words.
Plot summary.
Rolando, drum roll, please.
Coming in at number 3 for Friday the 13th, part 6, Jason Lives. Troma presents a Jason movie.
Mm-hmm.
Coming in at number 2 for Friday the 13th, Jason Lives. Real estate investors won't quit.
Yep.
It's like the fourth time they've used Crystal Lake for something. And
oh, yeah, yeah. Like no,
4
dude.
4 years, 5 years.
My God, we got to talk about that, dude. Forest Green? They changed. What the fuck is this idea? Like, okay, go ahead.
Let it go. People keep dying. And coming in at number 1 for Friday the 13th, Jason Lives. Tommy gives Jason the rod.
Oh, very true. Jason Lives. Maybe the most MTV-ish of all these movies. Meaning like style, direction, music. It's very kind of youth oriented.
Yeah, it's like every 80s hair metal song I never wanted to hear again.
And we finally have a comedy.
Yeah, kind of. It's just so goofy. It was like so, it just felt like a parody of a Jason movie.
I agree. But here's, before we go into all the negatives, I want to point out two positives, and you can disagree with me about these or not. First one, easily this, of all of the previous, all six movies up to this point, this is probably the best shot cinematic looking movie at all of them. There's like, there's like smoke machines, and there's like camera movement. It's, to me, it's a very pretty movie. That's the extent of it, what I'll say, right? There's that scene where like you have Jason on top of a camper that's on fire. Like, there's some nice moments, because I truly believe these are some of the ugliest, poorly shot movies. And it doesn't help that the sets in the camping grounds are just disgusting. They're just gross, old, yeah, disgusting campsites. This movie kind of like had a little bit of a little bit more. It was to me, in my opinion, it was better shot. Before I get my second point,
What do you expect from the guy that was one of the camera guys on John Carpenter's Village?
There you go.
And Broken Arrow and United 93.
That to me is a plus in this movie, is that I felt like visually, I thought this movie was probably the best looking movie out of that has yet to come out of this series. It actually looks like, you know, a movie instead of whatever poor direction we've seen in these other five. Disagree, degree.
See, I couldn't even appreciate that. I didn't even notice that because of how I felt about the movie.
Okay, second point. I actually like Tommy Jarvis, not the actor. I like the intention of him, because Tommy Jarvis is actually proactive in this series. Because he's like, you know, oh, I gotta, even though he kind of, this movie opens with him kind of like, very dumbly, like, oh, it's been a couple of years. I got to make sure Jason's dead, and I'm going to take Horseshack from Welcome Back, Kotter to the middle of the wood, to the cemetery to burn him alive. And oopsie, he gets electrocuted and Jason is back. But after that dumb sort of premise, he is proactively trying to stop Jason, which is technically different from all the other movies, because every other movie is like, oh, we don't know what's happening. Jason's just killing us. He's like trying to actually stop him. So that was actually something different than we've gotten before. A character who's actually motivated. Agree, disagree?
Yeah. I mean, it just, I don't know if it should have been Tommy Jarvis, or I don't know. I keep saying his last name
is
Jarvis.
It is, yeah.
It is okay. It just, God, like we're watching these movies basically back to back, and it's just like, what is this movie about now? I don't understand. Why is this the same character?
Yeah, and that was my two positive, and then let's just like the rest of it. It's just, I didn't like it. I didn't like anything else. I don't like that this is a comedy horror. I didn't like that.
I'm gonna give it a 7. What?
I know you're gonna shock me with your rating soon. I just hated that, you know, it's just goofy, this movie. It's just a goofy movie. You have the way it opens, it's like you have a very homage to like Hammer films, like Frankenstein being born again. And then that's kind of, and then you have like that weird credit sequence where like they have the James Bond, him in the gun barrel thing. And then he like slashes the screen. And I'm just like, what the fuck is this?
I don't know. I think I got visibly upset when I saw that part. Yeah. I was like, no. Is this like the whole movie? And it was.
Yes, it was literally all this. And oh my God, every character just monologues. Did you notice this? Every character just exposition dumps through this whole movie and is talking to nobody. They're just relaying bullshit information that is whatever to get to this next scene. It's just so bad. So bad.
And then getting immediately killed in what it was like, they flipped a coin and what's the goofiest way to kill somebody,
right? Yeah.
And off camera, because we don't have any money for effects, and I think we kind of briefly talked about this is Reagan era, so can't probably show anything.
Yeah, so a lot of the murders or whatever, the kills are like right before, for example, a machete goes into somebody's skull, it like cuts away and then we get like a bit of the aftermath of it. But let's talk about the most egregious prop humor in this fucking movie, when you have that couple driving the car and then they run into Jason. They try to back out. You had like Tony
Goodwin.
Tony Goodwin? The actor is really good at other things, but not this movie.
Yeah.
A really young Tony Goodwin in this movie and immediately dies. And then the girl, Goldwyn. Sorry.
There you go, Goldwyn.
Yeah. And then, and then you fucking had, he kills both of them. And then you have that one fucking shot of for some reason, this woman decides to offer her money and a credit card.
Yeah.
And then Jason's like, well, I don't have no use for that. And then like fucking kills her. And then.
He disappears, yes. Right? And you can only assume Jason just like ninja style tiptoeing, running around the forest to surprise her from behind. Yeah. Like, what?
Jumps, like she's laying on the ground and somehow jumps in front of her, which doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
And then you have that awful fucking shot of her hand still clutching like the money and the card. And the card is like slowly like drifting away.
American Express.
Don't leave home without it.
Oh my God, dude.
Jeez. Yeah. Oh man, that was so painful. So awful.
Like all the deaths were pretty stupid. Oh, this is also the first time that there are actively children at the camp the entire time, but you keep forgetting that.
Yeah. There's a couple of one-liners I thought were pretty good by one of the kids. I thought was funny, but
well, that's where I was like trying to appreciate that, but I was also like, kids wouldn't talk like this. This is weird.
Yeah. No. Yeah.
Like these two kids that they focused on underneath the bed. Like, yeah, we're totally like, I forgot what he says. Like cooked. Well, not cooked, but I was like, all
right. Basically insinuating they're gonna die. They have no future or something, right? Like,
yeah.
Cynicism.
And then like some of the. There's this couple having sex in an RV.
Are they having sex? What's going on in this? They're trying to. So she's like, to describe it, they've gone away to like a Winnebago, whatever, right? And
Winnebago.
And she's like on top of him and just kind of thrusting to the music that's playing. I guess it's Alice Cooper is what I read. Alice Cooper did a couple songs in this soundtrack. And so like she's like on him, but trying to. Like move to the beat while straddling his shirt, and then we see his nips.
Like, you're so good. I'm like, what?
You're so good at this. Like, you gotta last for the whole song. Well, he's like, how long's this song? 10 minutes. I'm like, what is this, dude? Where are we?
But luckily, Jason's a homie, right? And slashes the power to the fucking RV, and she's like, what happened? And then she's like, oh. What did you finish? She's like, I thought the song was over, babe.
So bad.
I was like, okay.
So bad. So awful.
But they were actually the only sensible characters in the movie too, which I thought was funny. Because they walk outside, they track where the cable's at, and he's like, well, unless you want to find out what did this, I suggest we make this a memory. This is what he says. Yeah. And they get in the van and they try to take off.
Right.
There is that fun sequence where he's like, no, this can't be happening because fucking RV won't turn on. And she's like, oh, it's because we have it on, I don't know, not battery powered version or whatever. So they take off. She gets pulled into the bathroom in the RV and is struggling with Jason.
Mm.
And he is just like, hey, let me know if you need any help in there. Woo, I like what I'm hearing. And then she dies by, I guess the walls of the RV are made of aluminum, is my guess.
Yeah.
And he shoves her face through it, and you just see like the outline of her head and nose go through, like make a shape, kind of like Han Solo when he gets frozen.
Yeah, not good.
So maybe it's a Star Wars nod, actually.
Well, then it's the best thing I've ever seen.
Maybe this, this movie is 10 out of 10, the greatest thing I've ever seen.
Well, then you have the fucking the gravedigger or whatever. Break the fourth wall.
Oh yeah.
And look, and does fucking looks at the camera, and I have the quote pulled up. He says, shitheads can't even stick them back in right. Why they have to go and dig up Jason? Looks at the camera. Some folks sure got a strange idea of entertainment.
Oh man. And then the other couple, like, they just introduce people just to get fucking off during this movie too,
right?
This other couple had the strangest fucking dialogue, like this conversation. She's like looking at a ring on her finger and she's like, come on, I didn't know that's why you wanted to bring me out here. I thought you only wanted to bring me out here for one thing. And I was like, then why'd you go with him if you were gonna be like against it? if he was just gonna try to have sex with you, why are you in the middle of the forest with him? But she's like, come on, I didn't know. And he's like, no, you only think that's all I want. And she's like, no, no, but it's so nice. And I said, yes. And now I kind of want it. He's like, nah, I have a headache. She's like, come on, I want to do it now. And he's like, no, I'm tired. Come on. He's like, okay. And then, and I'm not even exaggerating, by the way, they say these lines, dude. He's like, okay. And then the drunk gravedigger guy gets killed right after he says something like, he calls the bottle Mary or something like that.
Right.
He's like, Mary, you'll be the death of me. And then Jason immediately grabs it and then, you know, breaks it and kills him with it.
Yeah.
And that before this couple can have sex, they hear that noise and they run over to go investigate. And very like Three Stooges style, like she's standing behind him, like super close. So you can see a two shot of like both their heads looking the same direction. And they both react with big like, oh, no. And then Jason swings his machete. And then the next scene is like, you know, some heads being chopped off. Like you don't see it being done, but you see heads disappear. And I was like, oh, OK, I'm checked out at this point in the movie.
Well, we haven't hit the bottom yet. To me, this is the worst part of the movie. This is we're almost you
know, Jason doesn't even hit the bottom. And that's the whole point of the movie. And he doesn't hit the bottom of that fucking lake.
So. We'll get there. We'll get to Tommy's big plan and how to stop Jason. But do we have must talk about.
Come here, boy. Come on. That's what it felt like when you had the chain thing. Come on, boy. Come here.
Well, let me just mention what's going on with this paintball situation with these older people. What this is like campy,
like what
horror? Yeah. Early, this is an early Kill in the Woods where you have people playing paintball and it turns into like Benny Hill type humor, like stare at the camera, goofy. Yeah. They're like dressed up in camels, you know, and they're paintballing and they're like wearing, you know, the glasses you wear for paintball with in glasses on top of it, and they're very nerdy and just saying. You have one guy always talking about, oh, I'm hungry. I'm hungry. And that murder, there's like three of them together, and then they get their heads all slashed off by Jason's machete. Yeah. Which, explain so the logic of that.
This is also, I'm guessing, the beginning of Jason being like super, super human strength.
Right. Yeah.
Because he does get shot a lot, he does get hit a lot. Tommy and the final girl, I forgot her name, her dad is a sheriff.
Mm hmm.
And he's trying to stop Jason at one point, finally, at the end of the movie. And he gets away until, like, he's finally just going to fight Jason. And Jason just quickly folds him in half, like, literally, the wrong direction. Mm. I was like, oh, okay, that was quick.
Well, I mean, technically, he's Frankenstein now. He's a monster. Yeah, yeah, that's true. He's not. He's been brought back to life. He's a zombie now. This is where I think the zombie vacation of his.
Oh, well, no, he's not Frankenstein, because what you're thinking of is Frankenstein's monster before everybody comments.
Oh, here we go. Yes.
Of our large comment section area of comments. don't thread at
please,
us.
Please thread at us. But yeah, and this is where he picks up the machete, because one of the guys is like chopping brush or whatever to clear a path, and then Jason kills him, and then he picks up the machete and the arm's still there connected to it. Aha. And we must talk about, well, no, I another scene where that he throws one of those guys in the camel's face against a log, and there's like a smiley face imprint that is bloody.
Yeah, that was...
Man, when
this movie was fucking bad.
When the comedy does not work, it does not work. It is so bad in this movie.
Holy shit, it's bad. Yeah, like you said, I mean, I was already, I think, peeved, so I didn't want to laugh at the kids, but they were probably the only funny thing about the movie.
Yeah, that the sort of one joke I thought was super funny. But like, let's talk about like, well, we should probably go into spoilers, right? We haven't done that yet, right? So
yeah.
Spoilers start now.
Wait! No, 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 stop, stop, stop talking, guys. Stop the podcast. Stop. Please stop the podcast. Because we're about to go into...
Spoilers.
What is a spoiler?
So what's... Tommy, like, was going to kill Jason, going to make sure he was dead a couple of years past. And then he accidentally revives him by putting a metal rod in him, which it's raining, and then there's like the electricity, so it's that classic monster movie. And he decides, without really knowing if this is going to work or not, he decides that the only way to kill Jason is to return him back to where he originally died, which was under Camp Crystal Lake. And so he's going
to... He does try to set him on fire at the beginning of the movie, though.
Yeah.
Which he keeps trying to light matches while it's raining. But, yeah.
And he decides to move the world's heaviest boulder. Not even just the crudest way to possibly drown something is he moves the heaviest boulder possible, puts it in a boat. Boat doesn't sink.
So, yeah, exactly.
He doesn't even really like, there's not much effort into this plan because he's clearly just like, I'm going to tie off this chain and just like hook him with it. And that's going to drag him down into the water.
Yeah, and it's not like there's any, you can't do any sort of slip knot on a chain like that. It's a thick cable chain.
Right.
And so it's not like it tightened around his
exactly.
neck.
Exactly. Yeah. So it's like, there's no like knot there. There's no like, other than there's just like a heavy boulder tied to it that he's, so when he's like struggling underwater trying to pull it off, he could easily just like take it off the way it was put on, right? Like it's just literally just,
yep.
Just absolutely insane. Yep. Insane idea. Even though I don't know how Tommy became, this is the way to do it. There's like no explanation. He just assumes this is the only way to kill him.
And I think like that the final girl he's with, the daughter of the sheriff, he's trying to say like, go, just go run, hide. No, get away from here. And she decides to scream instead. So Jason pops up. I'm like, all right, just kill everybody. I don't know. Hurry up.
That's what I mean. I mean, to be fair, I thought the scene where like he's in the little fucking canoe and throwing the rock, and then like you have the fire around the lake and shit. I was like, that's cinematic.
Oh, I did think that was cool. I didn't understand how Tommy was going to get out of that. I like felt pity for that actor when that was happening. I was like, oh, this isn't any sort of safe special effects. This guy is literally in a boat with fire around
right,
him.
Right, yeah, exactly.
That must suck.
And yeah, I guess
so it ends.
Ties him
I
down.
Guess Jason's still just alive or unalive, floating in the water.
In the water. And Tommy Jarvis is, I don't know, I think they've kind of done this character dirty in a way, right? I mean, they finally have a lead in this series, and he does literally the dumbest thing possible to get the kind of plot going, and he comes up with the dumbest possible solution here to end Jason.
Which, I'm gonna say this is the last time we see Tommy Jarvis?
I think so, yeah. And to be perfectly fair, I feel like here on out, these movies are just gonna get wacky as shit. They're just whatever. I just offhand, thinking like there's telekinesis, there's bounty hunters.
They're like seriously trying to compete with Halloween and Nightmare on Elm Street with these.
They're just out of ideas. They're just whatever. They're throwing whatever. He's going to Manhattan now. He's going to go to space. Yeah, they're just throwing whatever the fuck. So
it's like, oh, telekinesis. Yeah, well, Dream Warriors, right? We got to compete with
right.
Them.
Yeah. So
we'll see.
Hopefully.
Maybe they're bangers. I don't know.
We have what, like 4 more movies left. I hope we get like one good one out of the last 4.
Yeah.
Right?
Like, I will say, to be fair, even though like I'm going to rate these very low, this is at least quicker and easier to watch than, what do we have super issues with? Was it Paranormal Activity where I'm like, oh my God, why is there so much fucking going on? Just end the movie already.
Yeah. Paranormal Activity was kind of they just kind of get boring. Sure. Yeah, they just get boring after a while. Yeah. You know, once you've seen the premise, the interesting thing is that they keep going back into the future or the past, right? And they kind of just keep.
Yeah.
Like there's like certain moments in it without giving it all away, but yeah, there's like the way the movies are connected get really interesting, especially some of the sequels. But alrighty, you want to rate the movie?
Yes.
Alrighty, John, how many sexy spooky bones do you want to give it?
How many sexy spooky bones will you give it? Sexy bones.
Don't do that. Just rate the movie. Friday the 13th, part 6. What's it called?
Jason Lives.
Jason Lives. Who gives a shit? 2.5 sexy spooky bones.
I'm going to say Jason Lives. I like that they finally figured out who the main character is 6 movies in. It's Jason. It's clearly Jason.
It's like, what if we make the bad guy the main character? You mean like in Halloween?
Nightmare on Elm Street figured it out after the first movie. Halloween figure out after the first movie. So 6 movies in, they're like, you know who this is a real star of these movies, guys? Jason. <Yeah.
laughs> You know who we should make Supernatural also?
Really dumb. But I'll give it, I'm opposite of you. I did have a little bit more fun with this one in terms of how bad it was. Because it is bad. It's a terrible movie. So I'll give it a 3.
Okay, yeah. Hopefully this is the lowest of the lulls in this series.
I hope so. Well, there's still, without getting ahead of ourselves, I know the next one is like really cut up, like edit-wise. Very little blood or death in it. So it's a very tame. But we'll see how that goes. Alrighty. All right, guys, gals, non-binary pals, thank you for listening. And as always,
stay spooky. And the sea spooky.
Mm-hmm.